Turn, please, to 1 Peter, chapter 3. 1 Peter, chapter 3, and verse number 18. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now turn back to 1 Timothy, please, on chapter 1. And verse number 15. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There's a final reference, please, in the book of Philippians. And chapter 3. Verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. For our conversation is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Trust the Lord will bless these words with what we have heard and help us to preach the gospel therefrom. I have just three simple thoughts in my mind tonight at the close of this meeting, and I would like to carry on if God would help me from what we have heard, and that is to show the ability of Christ. And I think we want to try to emphasize at the end of the meeting that the one that we preach tonight has all ability to meet your needs for eternity. I want to look at the ability of Christ to suffer upon the cross. He hath suffered. I want to look at the ability of Christ to save. Paul says, of whom I am chief. And then I want to think of the ability of the Lord Jesus to subdue all things unto himself. In other words, my friend, we who are saved, there are people in this meeting who are saved. They know they are saved. They are sure they are saved. There's been a moment in life when they trusted alone in the merits of the work of Christ. And for those people, friend, we look forward to the day with anticipation when these vile bodies or these bodies of humiliation will be changed and fashioned like unto his own body of glory. And the power that will do that is the same power that will subdue all things unto himself. In other words, friend, the world look at gloom and doom. We read the newspapers. That's what we read about. Everything seems to have a black picture. But we from the Bible who are saved, we know that there's going to be a day coming for our world when everything will be brought into harmony with the one that died at Calvary and rose again. I hope tonight that you will grasp that you need this person desperately if you're not saved. He's the only answer for you tonight out of Christ without a Savior. I like 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. Of course, Peter always blends suffering and joy, or suffering and glory. He puts those two things together, and he places Christ in the epistle as an example for believers who have trusted him, who are passing through trials and sufferings. And in the midst of all that, the way he uses, by the divine Spirit, the person of Christ, he sets him forth not only as an example, but he sets him forth in his glorious, unique work of dying upon a cross in order to suffer for our sins. My friend tonight, in that little statement, Christ also hath once suffered for sins. I learned this very precious principle that God was absolutely and eternally satisfied with Christ's suffering upon dark Calvary for sins. He made a propitiation. He made a satisfaction to God. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. Men were ruined because of sin. You and I are part of a fallen race. And my friend, God looked down at penance, and condemnation was echoed from God's heart to poor fallen humanity, all had sinned. And sin must be dealt with, must be put away, as sinners are going to be in heaven. And when Christ suffered on that cross, he knew a satisfaction to God, eternal. Maybe I didn't understand that the night I could say. And maybe you'll not understand it if I'm preaching. But remember, sin is like a mighty debt that men have accumulated day by day, week by week, year by year, decade by decade. And that debt becomes enormous. It becomes, my friend, so large that there's no way man could ever, by suffering, pay that debt. But thank God at Calvary, Christ rendered to God a satisfaction on account of man's debt and load of sin. We shall never capture, neither could we grasp in the enormity of it, what Christ really suffered. I could never begin to tell you, friend, even if I had the ability and the genius and the intellect to delve into all the meanings of words and to explore the depths of the sufferings, I could never come out with a full assessment and evaluation of the depths of the sufferings of Christ at Calvary for sins. If I took all the ocean of suffering of humanity from the day one, from Adam to the end of time, if I could accumulate it all, that would never, friend, bring to a full evaluation the sufferings for sins at Calvary. And if I could penetrate the darkness and go into the vast, unending forever, timeless and ceaseless, and I could accumulate all the suffering of eternity that we cannot measure, and I brought that into, as it were, one mighty load of sufferings, that again would never pass the depths of the sufferings of my Savior. Therefore I come to the conclusion. I stand before you tonight almost at the fringe of the mighty ocean of sufferings, of sins and all you can tell. That tells me one emancipating truth, friend. When Christ suffered on the cross, he exhausted all the wrath that man incurred because of his sins. The whole of wrath divine, he exhausted it, and he rendered to God a full satisfaction. That's why I'm happy tonight. Because my mighty debt of sin that Albert Hall accumulated could never have paid, friend. Christ rendered to God a satisfaction for me. A payment for me. That's why we say, pay God on that Christ. First at my beating Shirley's hand, and then again at mine. Friend tonight, think of it. Christ also hath once suffered. You know, friend, you can listen to 20 nights or 20 weeks, and that will give you here 20 weeks. And you can just leave that all, and you know something? The sufferings are frightening you. And some of them committed this all for the first time, hearing of the sufferings of Christ in your life.
When we preached in a tent in Dartmouth, first time I ever had a tent, local brethren helped with me. I couldn't find a partner, so local brethren helped. And dear Hubert and Mary brought his mother from Texas to Texas, who were visiting. She couldn't speak a word of English. So you know, she couldn't speak a word of English. And he brought her to the meetings. Amazing thing happened there, you know, that his mother and the daughter-in-law that didn't really jive too well.
Two women in one house don't do that. And of course,
didn't jive too well. And
they were always arguing.
Anyway, her son Hubert got her out in the meetings. And we had a big chart, two roads, two destinies. Never forget.
And she come every night, set up near the front, and we preached her heart out, of course, and we often went to the chart that she couldn't make a word out, not one word.
And so you keep looking at the chart as you point the two roads, one road up to heaven, the other road down to hell, the cross as the only way to start on that narrow road, and we fight it over night after night. It almost was a ritual. Jesus.
Look, finally, I'll never forget when the daughter-in-law said to me, you know,
Mom wants me to get you to come along to the house. She wants me to interpret. She wants me to interpret the first. She wants to do it. Never forget when I went into that house. And we stepped on that day.
And I didn't hardly a word to go. And the woman had been attending with 3 weeks.
Why you don't check with the doctor? And so I said, I'll go to the first few times.
So I just said to the dear woman, I said, just a moment, just a moment.
I'm going to read this text. And I got Antonio, certainly for me, to tell what I was saying. I said, so look, this has been there. Tell me this one thing before we start here. If God sent you to hell, would you rise to do it?
Now that was plain. I know it was plain. But we had no time to beat around with everybody that tried to go back here.
I'd never see her again. I'll never forget what she said. She looked and she then Antonio come back with the word. Mom says, God is all what? And therefore, you sent me to hell, that's where I deserve to go.
Wonder if there one that got in this meeting tonight. What? One soul. One soul in the meeting tonight.
You don't come to that conclusion. God is right, I am wrong.
And I went to the text. I said,
Christ also hath once suffered for sins. I said, Esther, where did Christ suffer? It's a very simple ABC. Why don't you come right back to the cross?
Then I went to the second part. The just for the unjust.
I mean, it was just the... Boy, I don't forget that. The woman just went right to Jesus. She just for the unjust.
My friend, that's what salvation is all about. This text is telling us it so clearly. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. If in the one I have a satisfaction, and the second one I have substitution, the just for the unjust, that's what will take us over to heaven, friend.
I'm glad to know. But all I have and all I need is the substitutionary work of in my, see my pardon as well.
Have you understood as a sinner, guilty before God, that the Lord Jesus had all the ability, because he was God, to suffer for sins in all their totality, and in all their enormity, and all their magnitude, he suffered at Calvary. The just for the unjust.
My friend, take it in tonight. Oh, that God would help you. Mr. McAleer, preaching one night and that, the power, the good night. At the end of the meeting, he said, let us sing that hymn.
And one of the lines is,
he took the guilty sinner's place, suffered in his stead.
For man, a miracle of grace. For man, the Savior pled, I seek no other argument.
And if he was hoping, before he was sad, the woman stood up in the audience. She said, Mister, I seek no other argument. I want no other claim. And this is the this Jesus died. He died for me. The man could hardly take it in.
The woman gets saved in that meeting, friend, because she took in the black, grand, blessed, simple, yet profound truth that a Calvary friend Jesus became the substitute for the sinner. He bore the sinner's guilt, the sinner's wrath, the sinner's judgment. I was almost going to say the sinner's care. He bore all that the sinner should bear in him. Hope tonight that you'll take it in.
The ability of Christ, not only the satisfaction in his suffering, but only the substitution in his suffering on the cross. But thank God we have praise of God to reconcile you to God. This God. Let tonight know you can make it with the reconciling of God brought into his creator to the cross.
I think there's nothing grander. To know that I have intimacy with God, to know that heaven is my home, to know that God is my Father, to know that Christ is my Savior, to be reconciled from all the enmity that I had and hostility in my heart against God. It's all broken down. It's all gone. I'm reconciled like a prodigal. I've come home to God.
It all happened. Now the ability of Christ not only to suffer, but the ability to see. I'm glad tonight in this audience. I don't know you all, but we love you.
That's why we preach. Our heart desires to you.
We long to see you brought to the Savior. We don't want to see you perish, man. We're not preaching at you, but we're preaching for you.
We want to see you delivered from the wrath to come.
We want to see you in heaven with us. Then we don't want to see you perish.
And here's the great text. Paul says, an example, a product of the very message that he preached.
He says, it's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save. All the ability of Christ to save. I have no ability. Mr. Smith hasn't any ability. And all the Christians here haven't any ability. And all Christians in the world have no ability to save your soul. But Christ, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says that we man see what he says, and a problem that very much. The ability of Christ to save. My friend, what would you do tonight?
Would you like to know that you're saved? That your sins are gone, what a pillow to lie upon at night to know all is well for eternity.
Heaven is my fatherland, that I'll never be under the judgment of God. And it's all because He's always saved. Hallelujah. Not your man through today, not here.
And his mother, a praying woman, prayed for him, Christian lady.
And as he was going through the campus, we were, he did her life. And in that fire, she was in the room, a gorgeous, dear son, all of her hands were praying for him, trusting him, coming to us. He took that Bible in the religion for the parents actually stuck it right in the Bible and said, I am
went into the practice. I feel like right now but I just the time wore on and one day
thine hair fruit. Wheeled into the little ward, and that doctor was the one that was going to care for. And he was in and did all the attention he could. He says in his own conversion, he said, you know, that boy was something about his face, but calmness, a serenity. Attended to him, and finally, the young fellow said to him, doctor, he says, am I going to do it or done it? Tell me the truth, and I'm not. Oh, the doctor says, you're going to be all right. You're made a son. All the time you be working. Then that boy says, and doctor, I want to know because I'm ready to go to hell. Are you ready, friend, tonight? You know, the time wore on, and the boy got weaker and weaker. And finally, knowing that his dead were numbered, he said to the nurse, he said, I'm ready to go. He said, will you do me a favor? He said, will you bring the book? And will you pay my rent? Told him where he had, and told him where to get the book. Got the book to the boy, had his rent. He died that night. When the doctor came in the morning and asked if I had a nursery job, the doctor was nice. He said he was a nice boy. Took my bad on his difference. He said, did he say anything? Yes, he said, I fulfilled his request. Bring the book and a pen of rent. He says, what book? What book? She said, it's on his head. The doctor walked into the ward, put his hand on the top and pulled out. It was the Bible he pawned. He opened a fly leaf to my garden saw. Trust you to live for salvation. Whatever she had written on the language that was very simple, trust the leaf in heaven. What that doctor did, what you should do tonight if you're not saved on the road to hell.
He got alone with his God and bent at knees and cried to God for mercy. And God had mercy on him. And Dr. McKay turned to Christ on his bended knees to appreciate that Christ died for him. Friend, that's because Christ has the ability to save. There's none too vile. The very fact that I'm standing here tonight, let me tell you simply, you might get tired of to my conversion, but then I never get tired of it. I don't have to pump it up, I don't have to try to turn it off. It's limited. When on that road and the road to hell, friend, out of Christ with a praying mother and a praying father, younger than all hearts. And in my sins and that broad road of doubt and everlasting judgment, my friend, I tremble.
If I die without Christ, I'll be in hell.
Never forget passing that little hall.
I often say, God in His mercy, you know, He took that hall for me. There's no one can say to those things that I ever heard.
And there's only about
6 or 10 people going. And another thing about it, strange enough, I didn't know that afterwards. The one preacher said to the other in the spirit, he says, look, there's no one coming to open the windows. So you might be passing.
I was passing.
I was passing.
Boy, I never forget as I drew near to that little hall. I heard those words, it didn't go inside, I heard those words, Christ receive a sinful man,
even though you were all asking. I didn't just say it that moment, but I'll tell you what I did get. I got just that rare hope. Christ has saved sinners. I started making ways.
Did he ever save you, friend?
Can you say the truth? I know that I am saved, that Christ has died for me, that I know that He saved me because He put away my sin. I trusted Him, I believed on Him, I've accepted Him, I've trusted His person.
There in that hour about, I hadn't even a watch because I couldn't afford one.
Yeah, I'm a brother's big coupon, I couldn't afford a coupon either.
On the January the 27th,
and a missing Sunday night, come between two pillars that led to a schoolhouse. I stopped and I said, oh God, I've tried to understand and believe, and I've tried to come, and I've tried to feel, I've tried everything and I know. I quoted the Bible, I quoted the Scriptures. Oh God, I'm in the darkness, and there's no way out of the darkness. Did you ever recognize that, friend? That's who you are before God, friend. That's what the Bible says. Ungodly, lost, without Christ, without hope, without God. It was in that moment that I understood. Oh, but that's why Christ died. I just don't know when He died for me. And without feelings, and without emotions, or without any big stir, I just said, thank God. And that verse came to me. What Jesus said, come unto me, Lord, you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Thank God. After a wretch, at peace, after a Christ. Never forget it, friend. Do you remember what it happened to you? Come on now.
Does it cause a little ripple in your soul of appreciation tonight?
Do you feel it said, thank God?
I know. I hadn't abided in my home for 5 years.
I walked into the room and I said to my brother, he's a midnight reading his Bible. Always was, first read to the midnight hour. Studied his new bread, didn't know that was a new bread, a spoken or a diary or whatever they call it. I said to him, Bruce, I borrow your Bible. I'll never forget. He looked at me in amazement. He said, Ian, what are you doing tonight trying to help you, friend? I opened that book of my knees in that little room. And on my knees, I opened it and I come to that great text. But now I've been made free from sin. I said, thank God. Christ took them all. Free at last. A dead friend. I found them right there. Again.
Do you remember when it happened? Can you go back to the spot? I don't mean the days in the common. You may not have the days in the common, but I'll tell you what you will have.
The place where it happened and how it happened.
The ability. Of Christ to save. Paul says, of whom I am chief. You know, friend, I'm going to close with this. The authority of Christ is a Jew all to himself, but I want to leave you with this. You could be sitting in your last gospel. He's going to come whence we look for the Savior who shall, from heaven, who shall change this body of humiliation, and he shall change it into a body of glory, like unto his own, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Let me just say this in closing. If this was your last night, could I ask you something? If this was your last night, could I ask you something? Are you saved?
You know, at our last meeting, something similar to the smaller brother, I said at the end of the meeting, this might be my last handshake. A girl went out of that meeting that night, she said to me, Mr. Hall, not the last handshake for me. I said, what do you mean? She said, I was saved 3 weeks ago when Mr. Hall that was preached.
There we had prayed for. And I started to sing it.
Oh, happy day, that's my choice. And everybody joined in. That boy called back, 16-year-old boy, was just like yesterday. He fled into the bathroom. And then he should go to the bathroom and headed for the car. The US would call back. Phoned me up, she said, Mr. Hall, would you come down? Kenneth is troubled. Would love to see him. He's up in his room. Well, I said, oh, come. I got down with my wife and children before I left, and I remember as we prayed, I said, Lord, save the boy before he get there, that I have nothing to do with it, that God will have all the glory.
I'll never forget when I got to that door, Esther met me all full of joy, all this joy. She said, Mr. Holt, 2 minutes ago, God saved him.
He just come down to tell us that he trusted Christ, that he had died for the Calvary, and he saved him. My friend, are you saved tonight? The ability of Christ to save. This could be our last. I want to see a quiet language. To the very back of this building, right up to the front. This could be your last opportunity to embrace, accept, rely on Christ, take him at his word. Tomorrow just might be too late. The Lord will be here, and you will long forever. Sadly,
Father, we bow in thy presence in the Savior's name. We thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for saving souls, for those that are present with us who have trusted Christ. We bow and thank thee. We've been hearing about the Lord Jesus, and Father, his uniqueness, and his power, and his person, and his preaching. And O God, we thank thee for his ability to suffer. He did suffer, he has suffered for sins, he's now in glory, thou hast vindicated that work, that he has been put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit. We bless thee for a risen Christ. We thank thee, Lord, he's able to save, and a number of his present can attest to the greatness of his power to save us from sin and from hell. O God, we thank thee, he has saved us for heaven. We pray, Lord, that someone tonight might learn their need and look alone to Christ, past every other thing. And O God, get a hold of a great truth. It's all in the work of another, the death of the Savior. Lord, remember us for good as we continue. We know that whence our Lord will come. He could come tonight. The day is coming when everything will be subdued under his feet. That blessed man will reign supreme and eternal. Oh God, he's going to give his shout one of these moments and we'll be gone. Our sad loved ones left outside the door forever. And oh God, to think of the lament, the harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we are not saved. Bless, we pray, as we sing the concluding hymn in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.